Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For Simon Peter and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When today's gospel begins, the disciples of Jesus are back fishing again. This seems to contradict an earlier account in John's gospel where these same men, Peter, his brother Andrew, and probably John, had encountered Jesus at the Jordan River, where John the Baptizer was preaching, and they had begun to follow Jesus. But now we find them fishing again. They actually go back to fishing, if we think about it, even after the death and resurrection of Jesus. It seems these men had not yet forsaken all to follow Jesus and in a permanent and continuous way. The reality of men being called to follow the Lord but not yet forsaking all things to do so is scarcely unique to the disciples. The honest truth is that such a state of things is fairly typical of Christians in general. But today's gospel shows our Lord at work fishing for the souls of men. He doesn't give up on these Galilean fishermen. He comes to them again, bringing his kingdom to them. Now, interesting enough, Jesus does not curse their vocation as fishermen so that they would maybe just drop it and do his work instead. No, he blesses their fishing with his word. We should remember that Jesus is the ruler of two realms, two kingdoms. God's heavenly kingdom comes upon earth through his word and sacrament in the church. The earthly kingdom, the kingdom of secular politics and how civil society runs each day on this earth, Jesus rules through rulers that he raises up, beginning with your parents. Some make the error that never the twain should ever meet these two realms or kingdoms. We are very poor off, don't you think, when parents do not rule their home by God's word, when rulers do not govern by God's word? The kingdoms of heaven and earth are not to be kept separate, but are to be distinguished from each other, for sure, because God rules them both in different ways, and Christians, citizens of both realms, live holy lives in them in different ways. And we can be okay with that. Jesus brings on the heavenly kingdom through preaching his word to men and calling more preachers like Peter to follow him and catch men with his word. We have a vocation here of helping men to get ready for that same vocation, catching men with the word. We're going to say goodbye to this young man next week, and we'll welcome a new one in a few. He also blesses and sanctifies the earthly vocations of the men he calls to follow him when he gets in their boat, tells them to fish that deep water one more time. God is hidden in this temporal realm. He providentially cares for his whole creation, including those who do not know him. He rules it by his moral law, the Ten Commandments, whether people like it or know it or not. We might paraphrase from this gospel reading, the law has been put out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. The moral law is applicable in the world and remains the standard by which every earthly ruler and institution can and should be judged. Christians are to do good works in the world. You are to work for justice. You are to care for the poor. You are to battle the evils that are part of the fallen human condition. This is loving God and loving the neighbor. In the heavenly kingdom, the church, in great contrast, God is revealed through his word, his saving gospel. The Christians are under the gospel of God's grace and the forgiveness of sins through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so because our Savior, he followed the call of his Father to go fish in the deep end of this lost and darkened world, to catch men alive who by faith receive his forgiveness of sins. He cast down the net of his sacred body and blood through this world so that men would receive from him forgiveness of sins and be gathered to live under him in his kingdom and serve him forever. Jesus did not count the cost for you. He did not question his call because he thought about you and your needs. He humbled himself and gave all of himself for you and your life and the life of this world. So he can say to Peter and to you, do not fear. From now on, you will catch men alive. God sends Christians, forgiven on account of his Son, out into the world to live out their faith and their worldly vocations. This is not just your economic work, but it is your calling in your family, the church, and the state. In our gospel, by its end, Jesus has called Peter to each estate to be a fisherman, support his family and fellow fishermen. He's called him to be a fisher of men, a catcher of men alive, an apostle, one who is sent. And all of those while living under the jurisdiction of the Roman Empire. That's what Peter was called to be. He is those things. At God's calling, at his word, those vocations then create obligations to others. In all of your vocations, Christians, you are to love and serve your neighbor. Vocation is the place where good works are done. The meal is prepared. The diapers are changed. One goes to work on time. One brings home one's paycheck and uses it for the needs of your family. And they are where spiritual growth occurs, where we hear the gospel, study his word, meditate on his commands, and as Christians endure trials and tribulations that their vocations bring their way, suffering the cross of this life. In their vocations, you cooperate with God as he governs his world, acting as his hands and his mouth in the world. Your vocations are what you are, what you are called by God to be. First, a baptized child of God, adopted by him through the water of holy baptism, justified and made holy by the blood of Christ, fellow member of the body of Christ with all other baptized Christians, and especially those closest to you in this Christian congregation. Then you are a father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, employer, employee, etc. What you do doesn't define you. It is what you are called to be that defines you. Duties, responsibilities, obligations, good works, they flow from each vocation, each calling. They flow from your identity that God gives you. Sometimes those vocations hurt. Sometimes those vocations bring suffering and untold sadness. Sometimes earthly vocations dear to us are taken away suddenly in God's unknowable wisdom and timing. Sometimes it takes incredible faith to stare at the cross ahead and to the side and yet respond as the disciples did that day at the sea. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And they returned to their boats on the shore. They left everything. And they followed Jesus. With Peter, James, and John, follow Jesus and his word. Be who God calls you to be in service to your neighbor. Find your life and your sustenance in the vocations of others around you and in service to them. Remember that you receive blessings and help for each day from God through the vocation and duty of others. Remember the police and firefighters who keep you safe, and the armed forces and border guards and intelligence services who keep our nation secure, and the grocer who makes sure you have food to purchase on the shelf, and the farmer who raises that food, and the husbands and wives who love and honor and nourish each other and their children, good workers who please their masters and bring home daily bread for their families, pastors who are raised up by God to catch men alive in the blessed net of the gospel and bestow the forgiveness Christ has earned and desires to give in his church. Remember your Christians who gathered together with you to receive that forgiveness, to look out for each other's needs, especially for the widowed and the orphaned, to console and comfort each other, because we're a family. And you are called to readily support that preaching of the gospel with your first fruit tithes of offerings and through being generous with your time and your help. And I know you are. And acknowledge and bless God for these things, because they come from his wonderful hand. It seems the disciples have been called by Christ before, but they had returned to their work. They had gone back to the boats and the nets. And no surprise, their work that night had been in vain. But at the word of Jesus, they filled both boats so that they would sink. Our work each day that God gives us is nothing without his word behind it. Everything is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer, including our lives and our labor. And when we face the work we have to do, we see it is all in vain unless Jesus directs it with his word, unless he is with us. And it is only in recognizing all you do and are each day as being God's singular and holy work that Jesus gives you the proper fear. As Peter says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Confess your sins so that your courage to follow Jesus is not born of your own labors, but it is born in Christ's forgiving word, his mercy towards sinners like Peter, his mercy towards sinners like you and me. Some say that just sanctification, or God making us holy, is, quote, getting used to our justification, that God has declared us not guilty for Christ's sake. What makes the disciples leave all and follow Jesus? The fear of their enemies, the fear of the unknown, the fear of cross-bearing, the fear of giving up on their own desires and their own understanding of their identity and vocation was wonderfully replaced with the mercy of Jesus, so that the saying was fulfilled in the disciples, "There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." God grant it to be fulfilled in all of us each and every day until he brings us home to the heavens that await. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.